And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
And welcome to episode 31 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me today is Lawrence. Lawrence, how you doing, man?
I am great. I'm fantastic.
Yeah, I got a little bit of bad news this morning, but musician who was one of my all-time favorite bands passed away. So Florian Schneider of Kraftwerk, the very influential and innovative electronic band.
I wish I could say I knew who that was, but I don't.
Get you to Wikipedia at least.
I guess I'll have to check the internet.
Well, they're basically the reason why electronic music is a thing. At all. So yeah, but well, in addition to that, I know that the last couple of episodes, in addition to burying the company for stupid decisions like holding a live show like they did tonight, we've gone over some. I mean, last week you talked about Sega Saturn emulation, and last few weeks you've also discussed Animal Crossing, both yourself and Chris. So let's take it from here. Streets of Rage 4, Lawrence, lay it down for us.
Oh my goodness, you are in for a treat if you have not played this game yet. If you're any sort of fan of the Streets of Rage series, or just in general beat 'em ups of old school style beat 'em side scroller beat 'em up games, you need to drop the 22 whatever it is on SOR4 as soon as you can. It's really one of the better revivals of a game series I've seen in quite some time. It's got the perfect mixture of modernizing a classic yet maintaining what made it very good. And, I can't say enough about it. The Tamu, really knocked it out of the park with this one.
The thing about, Streets of Rage is that I know, I remember playing the original one a long time ago. I don't think I ever played any of the sequels. But I remember playing the original one, and years later, I found out that comic book writer Mark Miller, the guy who created Kick-Ass and the Kingsman series, one of his earliest jobs was writing a Streets of Rage comic for the British edition of the Sonic the Hedgehog comic book. So he did. So yeah, he actually did a Streets of Rage comic at one time for the British market. But also, there's another game that's been recommended lately that's sort of in that vein that has like apparently a shit ton of pro wrestling references too, called Treachery in Beatdown City.
Yeah, they were telling me about
that. Yeah, so I need to check that out. Unfortunately, I haven't seen my Switch in 2 months ever since Animal Crossing came out because one of the youngins in this house has hoarded it this whole time.
Like I said, Jeff, gotta put that foot down.
Geez. And then in addition to the other depressing wrestling news, Best of the Super Juniors not happening now.
Yeah, it was the big news to come out of the day.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So yeah, that was kind of a downer too. I mean, I think we all knew it was coming. I don't think they're not even going to run Sumo in May like they're supposed to now. So.
Jeez.
So yeah, a lot of things are just completely jacked up right now. So. Anyway, RIP Florian Schneider of Kraftwerk, and with that, we move on to Daly's place in Jacksonville, Florida for episode 31 of AEW Dynamite with your hosts, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur. The regular team is back. We even get an actual show intro, which we haven't had in several weeks.
Yeah.
So they're actually kind of treating us like, you know, hey, we're actually back now. Even though I think you and I decided we kind of liked Dynamite being the studio show. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that being said, before the sun went down, I thought that it actually gave it a Daly's Place a nice ambiance. You know, before the sun went down, you know, there's still a little bit of you know, sunlight out there.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool, you know, getting to see that. But so as we head in right into our first match, Cody Rhodes versus Joey Janela. Excuse me, Janela. My bad. And immediately, Jim Ross calls Cody Rhodes the number one contender for the AEW title, even though he can't challenge for that title. Already, I'm missing Chris Jericho on commentary right out the gate. So, what did you think of this match?
It was a pretty solid opener. I thought, you know, Janela is sloppy as all goddamn hell sometimes in what he does, but I guess that's part of his charm. But God, sometimes it's just he isn't very refined at what he does in the ring.
Yeah, there was one particular point where I thought I had to agree with that, but I'm just gonna point out a couple of things. First of all, both of them were in leopard print in some way, shape, and form. I guess they didn't.
That was not coordinated.
Yeah, I guess they didn't get the memo. And second of all, what the fuck was with the fringes on the from the belt on Janela?
Yeah, I don't know about good that.
Lord. That can't serve any functional purpose at all. But also, I noticed Janela's nose pretty red. I mean, I know they're down in Florida and all, but you know, you don't want to make too many assumptions. But yeah, talking about the match, yeah, Janela's sloppiness, and yeah, like that German from the. From the springboard that.
Oh my god! Did.
Oh Jesus!
I thought Cody fucking died on that one.
Yeah, that did not look good at all.
Yeah, Cody got fucked up on that
yeah,
move.
Yeah, he sure the fuck did. But
it was a pretty good back and forth match though. Janela really got a lot of spotlight in this match. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, that. But you know, it was pretty obvious going in because you know he has a big tournament final to go to. So yeah, once again, there was never any doubt of the result of this match, and Cody Rhodes wins with the Crossroads. And yeah, so again, yeah, solid opener. It was not bad. You were right. I mean, yeah, Janela's sloppy, but you know, once again, it becomes, you know, Dynamite becomes, you know, all about Cody Rhodes for a good half of this show. So as we'll see, we come back and we get a video recap of Nyla Rose ever since she won the title, along with featuring some of the other possible contenders for the AEW Women's World Championship. And this segues right into an interview with Tony Schiavone as Nyla's opponent's already in the ring. And we'll get to her in a second. And, you know, Nyla basically doesn't want to talk to Tony Schiavone.
Poor Tony. He just takes a beating.
He does. He gets so abused on this, on this show. But I will have to say I've missed Nyla Rose being part of the show.
Yeah.
I was really glad to see her back.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially against Kenzie Page, an 18-year-old trainee of Dr. Tom Pritchard. So I don't know. Who knows if she'll want to talk to Tom after this, but right. But yeah, basically, a very slim modicum of offense from Kenzie Page, but yeah, Nyla Rose just basically beat the shit out of her, and that was that. And really, I think if you're like a debutante, like this is your first match, yeah, you should get the shit beat out of you, honestly. You know, if you're like fresh out of the academy, yeah, you should get the shit beat out of you by one of the stars. You know, that's your debut match. Every debutante needs to lose their debut match, period. Afterwards, Nyla, of course, taunts Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander and even Britt Baker. So that's a little nice. That was nice. You know, she's not playing favorites. She doesn't care. I like the one line. I'm going to be a one-time champion because I'm never losing this belt. That's a good line, I thought.
Yeah, I like it.
Afterwards, we come back and we get a promo from Maxwell Jacob Friedman that has some of the worst green screening effects I've ever seen, ever. It just looked phony as fuck, you know? But that being said, the promo itself, not bad. I didn't think it was that bad of a promo.
It was a little more of a of an improvement from those last few his last few outings, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that it definitely was an improvement. Yeah, I have no problems with that promo. I thought it did its job and
I thought the boys he had changing his throne, his chair to his like wooden throne was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, but that was also the point where it was obvious how bad of a green screen that was
Yeah,
too.
right.
At the same time,
Yeah.
but I guess you can't have everything. And then we go to Sean Spears cutting a promo against Cody. Like, are they gonna try to go back to
Oh
this again?
yeah. So this was I was also really confused by this. So I'm like, I mean, didn't we already like go down this road already? Like
Like
we're
twice?
like I'm like, what? Like why are we? Why? Like why is he even here again? Like talking about this? I'm like, he had like really nothing to do with this like whole thing. Now he's already like talking shit about that. So I don't understand it. I really
Yeah.
don't. I'm not sure what they're gonna, what they're doing there. Excuse me again. I really have no idea what's going on here with Sean Spears and what the direction they're going with him after this pay-per-view.
Well, one thing we did see is that immediately afterwards, we go back to this into Daly's place, and Tony Schiavone is there with Sean Spears and MJF, and we're back to the gambling. We're back to the degenerate gambling.
Yeah.
So hey, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm good with that.
maybe they're gonna do maybe they're just gonna do Dustin versus him.
I mean, yeah, the way he kept saying that, his career is over.
Yeah,
Which is
so
something we forgot to mention last episode. Like, notice how they didn't have to juice that match against Archer with a, oh, Dustin's gonna, retire if he loses.
right.
Funny that.
Yeah, it's like they totally forgot about it.
Yeah. But and then they sneak in a quick announcement that MJF will be facing Jungle Boy at the still very ill-advised Double or Nothing pay-per-view. But that could be interesting, I think. I mean, I don't see why not. But so with that, we go into match number three of the evening, which the AEW World Champion Jon Moxley, in a non-title match against Frankie Kazarian. And
This is pretty good. Kazarian, really, this is one of his better outings in a while, I thought.
Well, they said it was his first singles match since January of 2019.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it was all right. I thought that the match was kind of too standard and also kind of took longer than maybe it really should have.
Yeah.
But
It was I don't know. I thought like Kazarian had some pretty interesting offense in this. He came off as like a legitimate threat against Moxley, and it was a good like tune-up match, I guess you should say, for Moxley.
Yeah.
And
I mean, yeah, God knows when the last time he wrestled was, so.
Yeah, no, it was a good. I thought it was a solid TV match for Moxley to have, and
Yeah.
I liked how he kind of hit the paradigm shift just like out of nowhere. It was just like really good. That I thought that was good for the finish. He just he's really getting to the point where he can kind of hit that move in a variety of different positions now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like DDP, with the diamond cutter
Yeah,
back in the day.
the original out of nowhere move.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of finding ways to like make be a little more creative with that now.
Yeah, I mean it was a decent TV match. I think they maybe could have shaved some time off of it though.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it was all right. I mean, it was just kind of, I guess, maybe a little standard from, other Moxley matches we've seen in 2020. And maybe I still have a little bit of bitterness from the last Moxley match we saw, because,
Oh.
God, that was awful.
Yeah, so yeah, for this, it was just like this was such a disparity in quality from that it probably felt a lot better than it maybe actually was
Well,
to me, but I don't know.
I'm gonna start to get the feeling that Moxley were, it's amazing. You give Moxley a good opponent and he puts on a very good match. You give him a shit opponent and match is shit,
Yeah. I don't know. What does that say about Moxley, though?
Well, that's a good
It's
question. What does that say about Moxley?
well, that's a good question to kind of think
Because
about there.
maybe Moxley isn't maybe Moxley can't carry,
Yeah, maybe he doesn't elevate as much as people think, and I mean, I think he had that problem at times in WWE, obviously, not all of that was his fault, but
Right.
I think at times he did fall a little short. I think that's fair. I think
Well, I
that
mean,
was
does
that's a
it? As long as he was there, yeah, the law of averages was going to be, eventually, yeah, he's not going to have, not every match is going to be a classic.
No, but sometimes I think he could fall a little flat sometimes depending on who he's facing.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him a bad performer by any means. It's just he's maybe not in the upper echelon of guys like that, but when he's on, he's on. But
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my favorites. I don't know if I put him as like one of the, great workers.
yeah.
Do I enjoy the hell out of him? Well, yeah. I mean, has he had great matches in 2020? Yeah, against Lance Archer and Juice Robinson and Minoru Suzuki
Yeah.
in New Japan. In fact, even the tag match he did, him and Okada versus Suzuki and Taichi was an early match of the year candidate for me.
Right.
But then again, you've also seen, the match with Jericho, that was pretty good at Revolution, but then we also saw the match with Jake Hager and it was dog shit.
Oh, yeah.
So again, I think maybe that's the thing. Moxley works great with other good to great workers, and when he gets someone who's shitty, it's shit. Frankie Kazarian is fairly middling, so the match was fairly middling.
Yeah.
I mean, and it happens.
Right. Well, let's talk about what happened after this match,
Oh
which is the most important
yeah,
thing.
you were very excited about this, so why don't you go
Oh,
ahead and take this?
Boy, oh boy. So the Dark Order came out and ambushed the hell out of Moxley, and which led to Brody Lee coming out and taking his ass out, which this is, I mean, this is perfect. I mean, now Brody Lee going after Moxley. Boy, DJ Hyde and fucking Zantig must be proud, huh?
Wow, you've been talking some CZW a lot lately. I've
Yeah.
noticed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
Judging
sure Gabe
by your other show.
and I'm sure Gabe's somewhere out there taking credit for somewhere for some of this too. I'm sure
Oh, yeah.
don't discredit that.
Oh, boy.
It's yeah, no, I mean these guys have a history. I mean, yeah, they've had some bangers in the past. Which is pretty awesome. It's a really interesting way to revisit that.
But they've also been tainted by WWE, so.
Oh yeah, that's very again, yeah, it's a very solid point, Jeff. It's it does change certain guys a little bit. But we really haven't been able to see Brody Lee in a real competitive, real match yet, So yeah, we'll see. It's
Yeah.
it remains to be seen. It remains to be
And
seen.
don't forget, he steals the belt too.
And I think this is like the perfect situation. I mean, I really think this is like the perfect storm. I think as good as a worker he is, Brody Lee is, which he is a fantastic one. And you got Moxley. Moxley's gonna bring his A game, because he knows him well. Like I said, they have an established chemistry in place. I think this is gonna be fucking awesome. I'm just gonna put it out there right now. I mean, I don't think they could have made a better choice for a main event than this one.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that you know that they were trying to start building toward for MJF to go against Moxley, but of course, everything, getting really fucked up, changed the timing
Right,
of that.
and that's what I hate about this too, though. In this situation, in this it's a shame this match had to happen now during all this shit.
Yeah.
That's the shitty thing, because this match deserves a crowd.
It does, and it deserves more than a 2 week build too, which is exactly what we're getting now, is a 2 week
Right.
build.
Yeah, that's again very true. Because but like you said, it was all screwed up with the tapings had to happen, and it was just not. It was all over the place,
Yeah,
and
see, that's what I don't get. They could have been building to the if this is what the plan was, and there's no guarantee that this was the plan, of
yeah,
course.
and that's what I think is the problem. Is obviously I don't think this was initially the plan, because I don't think they would have done this on, like you said, 2 weeks' notice, a title match build, on 2 weeks' notice to your pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing like that was initially the plan in place. I feel like they taped something, and then they kind of were like, oh shoot, like. I don't know, or I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was the plan, and maybe they taped some like backups, and then they didn't have to go to those backups, and but they never really built it on the shows. And I don't know. It's really weird. It is very strange that they're doing it like this far out from this, not that far out from the show
Yeah,
itself. No, I 100% agree with you.
I mean, you know, two weeks in WWE land is like is like an eternity, a well plotted eternity.
Yeah, well, they also have like 100 shows, it seems like, so
Yeah,
that's
and they'll redo that match 6 times during
oh,
in the
oh
next
yes,
in the
they
next three
will.
months. So.
Oh, don't you worry about that. They'll make sure they do it on Raw again.
And with 50-50 booking, so.
Of course.
So, moving on, we go to a tape promo with Brandi Rhodes and, jeez. Jeez, oh,
Well,
Pete.
Oh boy, Brandy is just that yawn was a coincidence, by the way.
You can only get away with it because you've already been caught doing it two other times. So.
Listen, I'm tired, okay? Please let
Yeah.
me be, Jeff.
Yeah, I got you. Cut out some of that Streets of Rage and Animal Crossing and take a nap every so
Oh my God,
often.
Dad, leave me alone. Anyway,
And clean your
it's
room too, son.
oh God, oh jeez, Louise. Anyway, yeah, Brandi Rose is lame. She's like the lamest person. I don't know, like she's like the person, like when she walks into a room, you just groan. It's like, oh God, like she's here. Like I gotta listen to her, like bad jokes and like really stupid, like faux intelligent remarks and everything for the next like 5 minutes. Like, ah, oh, great. All right, I guess I'll entertain it. And like
Yeah.
I that Brandy just reminds me of just those people that just think they're like really smart, but they're not.
Well, I'm just gonna quote Dave Ryan of the Days of Thunder podcast here on this feed. If I can find it, because the whole thing is going through. He says, "Hang on here. What is it?"
Oh wow.
Brandi Rhodes is a better parody of Stephanie McMahon than Brody Lee is of
Oh
Vince, but unfortunately her parody isn't intentional.
my God. That is perfect. Holy sh I've that's wow. I don't think I could have put it better than that.
I'm gonna continue. I'm gonna go a little further on the burial that she made the comparison of Caesar and Cleopatra.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was Mark Anthony that Cleopatra hooked up with there, Brandy. Sorry.
Holy Christ.
Sorry about you there.
She just tries so hard. It's like really, really bad.
I mean, it's not like there wasn't like a very famous movie about, or a very famous play about this either, you know?
Like I feel bad because I know she like really is like passionate about like the business and stuff. Like you could tell she
Well,
tries.
yeah.
She's trying, but like everything she does is just seems so like not genuine at all.
You know what it kind of reminds me, when you say that, you know what it kind of reminds me of? Did you ever see the TV show that was briefly on Stars called Blunt Talk?
No, I've
It
never heard of this.
starred Patrick Stewart.
Oh.
And it was actually by co-produce. It was like executive produced by Seth MacFarlane, which shocks me about how good this was because Seth MacFarlane was involved with this. But Blunt Talk. So Patrick Stewart played this TV pundit named Walter Blunt. He British ex British military. Fought in the Falklands War and became a TV journalist and commentator. And he thinks he can, use his platform to change the world for the better, except he doesn't seem to realize how much of a privileged jackass he is.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the comedy of the show comes from that.
Right.
As well as being, an alcoholic and a cocaine user and all these other things. There are some very funny things in this show that my partner and I quote to each other all the time, which would make absolutely no sense in context. So I'm not even going to try. But yeah, if you could find this show, I thought it was very funny. But yeah, I think that the comparison sticks here with Brandi Rose. Like, she just doesn't seem to understand how much
Yeah.
of a phony she comes off as.
Right, exactly. She always sounds like she's playing a character.
Right, and
It's so bad.
so, but in the meantime, we transition from this into our fourth match of the evening, in which QT Marshall, the erstwhile partner of Dustin Rhodes and the host of of the last few Dynamites, let's face it, taking on Lance Archer. And we get Jake Roberts in the building.
Yeah.
Wearing a mask and then takes it off for some reason.
That was, yeah. What the fuck was that? Dude, what are you doing, Jake? What are you trying to die?
Jeez, Jake. Yeah. This match was, you know, it was an extended squash, let's face it. I mean,
yeah, essentially. Yeah, that was.
Who was it that threw Britt's shoe? Because I missed that. Was it Brandy?
Brandy threw Britt's shoe into like the like seventh row.
Which was
hilarious. Yeah, that I did have to say that was
a little bit of payback from a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week?
Yeah, it was last week.
Yeah,
he used their shoe,
just whacked him. Yeah, and then Archer hits Marshall with a blackout, but then decides not to pin him with that. Goes for the EBD claw with, you know, bashing his head into the canvas. And then Britt Baker comes out and DDTs Brandy on the floor.
Well, there we go. Here's another thing that, like, nobody wants to see, but I guess we're going to build to it anyway.
Yeah, and then
why not?
And then Jake Roberts lays, I guess, it's not Damien, because I thought Damien died, like, 20-odd years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, Damien's been freaking gone.
Wasn't it Damien that got squashed?
Oh, maybe. Was that Damien?
Was it Damien or was that Lucifer? I thought Lucifer came later. Damien. Well, Lucifer did come later, but I thought that was why.
Yeah.
It wasn't Damien, whoever it was. Yeah, maybe doing the whole snake thing in 2020, not a good look.
Oh, why is that?
A little bit of maybe some quasi-sexual imagery there.
Wait, really? What? Where did you get that from that?
What? Laying a snake onto a prone woman. Where might I get that idea?
Jesus, Jeff, man, your mind's in the gutter, bro. I got to say.
Okay, well, I don't know. I just thought maybe it just looked a little, you know, uncomfortable, you know. But what do I know? So after that, we pull away to a commercial break. Come back. They announce some of the things going on at Double or Nothing, including a casino ladder match for the number one contendership to the AEW World Title. And then we go to Taz attempting to interview Darby Allin and trying to offer his services.
Oh, yeah.
And Darby just, you know, walks away. Doesn't say shit.
Is that, wow, like, this is, are they going to, like, try to have, like, Taz be his manager or something? Like,
damn, I don't know.
Like, that would be interesting. Are they going to, is, like, Taz going to just, like, continuously try to recruit him or, like, try to, like, continue to, like, that's interesting.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it only works for me if we get, you know, actual Taz, you know.
Oh my god! I want to see Taz on a skateboard, like in Darby's like backyard.
Does that mean Taz will wear the Tasmaniac makeup if he starts managing Darby Allin?
Hey Darby, you know I could do an ollie too.
Listen, brother.
Listen, I can show you how to do a kickflip.
Oh boy! So isn't Darby like an actual pro skater? Or something?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that's what makes it even funnier.
Yeah, I don't know.
Listen, let me show you the analysis on how to do a kickflip 360.
Oh boy! Yo, me and Tony Hawk, we go back like rocket chairs, brother. Oh, I miss Taz from I miss 1990s Taz.
I just miss Taz.
Oh boy. I mean, if he goes through this whole AEW run and does not lay one kata hajime on someone, it's all for nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe on JR.
I just need this in my life. I need Taz and Darby Allin alliance in my life.
You didn't know you needed this until...
Until now, and I'm like, oh my god, this is incredible.
After that, we get previews for next week, including a four-way women's match. I didn't write down who it is, so let's see how good my memory is. Hikaru Shida, Penelope Ford, Britt Baker, and Chris Statlander, which I think they've run this match before. This match sounds very familiar.
Oh, yeah, this four-way match?
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think it's not probably the same people, but they've just been doing too many of these four-ways in the women's division. They just like, here's another four-way.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that.
It's their very lazy way of getting everybody involved.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just they're not slotting enough time for them in other aspects, so they just throw them together in one four-way. They're like, hey, here's all four of them.
Yep, so we go back live next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yeah.
And with that, we go into our main event, the Street Fight tag team match between Kenny Omega and Broken Matt Hardy versus Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. This starts off right as rain with Sugar Dunkerton taking a shot on Jericho.
Oh.
Okay. I'm here for this.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that I fell asleep during this. I feel like a jerk off.
By the way, Lawrence fell asleep during this match. So this is not the first main event he's fallen asleep to in these weeks. So whether or not that's an indictment on how much he's having to work on the front lines during COVID or an indictment on the quality of AEW main events, I'll let you decide.
But I heard this was very good. I went on Twitter and everyone was saying like this was pretty fucking balls to the wall good, and I'm like, oh well, of course. And I actually fall asleep during the one that's actually good.
Yeah, it was kind of wild. So the other funny thing is that they go to a commercial break, you know, right after Jericho and Guevara come out. Sammy grabs his cue cards and then they cut right to commercial. So not a split screen, so we don't get Sammy's cue cards. Then we come back and Kenny Omega is actually dressed for the occasion for once. You know, wearing t-shirt jeans with visible knee pads. So yeah, he was actually ready for a street fight this time. Matt Hardy, meanwhile, comes out in his broken costume and then proceeds to do two costume changes during the match.
Yeah, oh my god.
Because he switches back and forth between, you know, broken and, I guess, not broken Matt Hardy. So, for some reason, because, you know, for some reason, lately, AEW in 2020 has been latching on to a certain wrestler to reference and homage, and for some reason, in 2020, it's been Great Muta. So... also during the match, and this is just, you know, it's just a complete clusterfuck. So, I mean, there's not really any individual, bits to go through. At one point, Matt Hardy and Chris Jericho are fighting on an empty ice machine at the stadium. So of course Hardy gets stuffed in there, which is when he does one of his costume changes.
Oh my god, what the hell?
So I really hope they sanitize the fuck out of that thing before they start storing ice in there again. At one point, Jim Ross rhetorically asks, you know, why is everybody asking, you know, where's the Kenny Omega that wrestled Okada? Jim, nobody is asking this question at all.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, buddy, nobody's asking this question. Just let it go, okay? Some of the other entertaining bits is noticing that there was a poster at the, outside of Daly's Place, because, of course, it's attached to the Jaguar Stadium. There is a poster on a support beam for, I don't know if this was an old concert or a forthcoming concert that may or may not happen because of everything. Foreigner and Europe apparently are touring together, are or were touring together.
Wow.
I need more details about the Foreigner and Europe tour, even though I will never go see this in a million years.
Well, I would see Europe. I wouldn't see Foreigner now because Lou Gramm is no longer their singer. So.
Oh, is that right? When did that happen?
When Lou Gramm had like a bad brain, was it brain tumor, I believe?
Oh, shit.
That basically rendered him like very, very like, he's health. I mean, I think he's like, but he can't like sing anymore, right? He just isn't like.
Well, that's a shame. Okay. Well, that's a damn shame. I had no idea.
I guess he was for a while he wasn't performing with them, and then I think he went and like. He does basically kind of like part time with them.
Right.
He kind of is like part time. Like he, in the late 90s, he had a brain tumor.
Jesus. I actually had absolutely no idea.
Yeah. Messed up his like weight and like, his voice and everything. Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel bad kind of making fun of Foreigner then, but, even so, I was never a huge Foreigner fan anyway, so I wouldn't go see him anyway. Anyway, yeah. back to the match. Sammy Guevara throws Kenny Omega into an ATM, and Sammy manages to pull out a couple of bills after that. I don't know if that's how that works, but... one of the funniest things that happened in the match, Jericho finds, you know, one of the orange safety cones. You know, that you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
The orange cones. Puts it on top of his head and cackles like a witch before hitting Kenny Omega with it.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. And then we get the golf cart.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. First, Matt Hardy clips Jericho with the golf cart. And then mere minutes later, both Hardy and Omega are in the golf cart, and they just nail Sammy Guevara with it.
Okay.
And from there, it just turns into a complete clusterfuck schmoz with the entire Inner Circle getting involved, including Santana Ortiz, who we had not seen the entire episode. But they all attack Omega and Hardy. Jericho gets Omega with the Judas Effect for the three count. And so your winners, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. It ends with a cool scene of, in the bit in the stadium where you can see right down the field and see the scoreboard. You know, the big scoreboard, and they put the Inner Circle logo on there. So I thought that was kind of a nice ending.
Yeah.
So your winner. So I guess I don't know if this makes up for the Blood and Guts match. I don't think it does, but, it does for now, I guess.
Yeah.
And Matt Hardy does not get a debut win in AEW. Thank God. I'm still pretty done with Matt Hardy already.
Yeah.
This is only his first match. That being said, the match was, it was a fun, plunder match, Much like the one last week. Between Best Friends and Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. So with that, we end episode 31 of AEW Dynamite. Lawrence, pros and cons, please.
What the fuck is this?
What's what?
Oh, what a nice tweet from Class Act Bully Ray.
Oh no, do I want to know?
Yeah, MJF said, tweeted out that QT Marshall sucks. And then Bully Ray said, "Whoever broke that jobber in should be shot in the face." So yeah, that's a
Wow.
yeah, but surprisingly, of course.
And amazingly, it was on topic. So.
Yeah, so yeah, that's
Oh,
nice.
that's nice. Hey, Mark LaMonica, go fuck yourself. How about that?
MJF also said that Moxley smells like shit.
Great.
So
Yeah,
yeah.
we're back to the try hard.
I'd rather see like I like rather that at least than like what he was doing earlier. That's actually funny. Just him just tweeting out random random quips about everybody on the roster is pretty hilarious. It's like
Yeah. I guess, but I mean, get some originality. He smells like shit.
he
Wow. Okay.
smells like QT actually bad.
Anyway, pros and cons.
Anyway, pros, I'm just very, very excited about Brody Lee and Moxley. That was just like a very pleasant surprise, even though if it was on a weirdly short notice. But I'm excited nonetheless.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Jeez. I thought all around like there was no matches that really made me go like groan or anything. It was a pretty solid. I thought it was just in general a pretty solid free flowing show. Excuse me, it's like the fifth time.
Jeez, oh
But
Pete.
and yeah, I thought I don't know the cons though were I think were just Brandy's awful like promo segment there again was just really bad. Shawn Spears again, they're just really just trying every angle they can with this guy, and I get it. Like I get the guy's on a probably a big contract and they're just trying to find ways, trying to find things to do with him, but I don't know. It's just, I think there's got to be a time where you just got to pull the plug on the guy and.
I mean, and it just, once again, he's trying to stir up the pot with Cody Rhodes again because, we have to make everything about fucking Cody Rhodes, which is
Oh yeah.
one of my cons, oddly enough.
Fun. It's hilarious. The guy that smashed the throne with a sledgehammer. All of a sudden, the show is becoming very centered around him.
Yeah, go
Funny how
fig
that works,
yeah,
right?
go figure.
Yes, don't throw stones at glass houses, Cody.
Yeah, seriously. One of the other cons, Jim Ross. I'm sorry, I really was missing Chris Jericho because Jericho was
Yeah.
coherent. He was putting guys over.
That's a very good point.
He was coherent. He was putting guys, even the ones he in kayfabe professes to hate. He was putting them over. Something that you never hear any of the quote unquote baby face commentators do.
Yeah.
Like even Jesse Ventura would put guys over, in his own way, Like even, once he liked a guy, he liked a guy. He was like even when, Macho Man did his face turn, Ventura was still riding and dying with the Macho Man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, we're back to this. It's like, yeah, we know that they play favorites, but I kind of miss having a heel personality on the commentary team. I'm sorry,
Yeah.
So that being said, I also missed Nyla Rose, and that was a big pro, her being back.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. That is something I completely glazed over. I apologize. Yeah, she's that was her presence is definitely welcome back.
Yeah. If we had to put up with Sean Spears, I'm still all about degenerate gambler Sean Spears. I think we're good with that.
Right, I think it's just at this point, just I'll accept him as that, like as a stupid like comedy like gimmick, of like something like that. Just be like that dumb like gambling like fool, like
Yeah.
that shows up, I guess, and It's whatever.
Yeah.
But I
And
don't
then
want to see him feud with fucking Cody and Cody's family again. I just.
Yeah, we don't need that shit. And then lastly, Moxley and Brody Lee. I am about this, even though it's going to be a 2 week build, but I am about this feud. So I like this. I think it's going to be a good match at Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
So there we have it. So Lawrence, go ahead and plug yourself.
Oh, you can find me at LOB underscore three on Twitter. And boy, I thank you all for the overwhelming amount of listens so far on the latest Pure on the Rough project that we've started, the Scandals of Puro podcast series. With episode one already is like over. Last time I checked, it was over 60 plays, and that was like a few hours ago. And I just uploaded it like yesterday, so I appreciate it. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback and support for it already, so we're gonna continue to do that. We talked on the first episode. We definitely talked centered a lot of our talk around BJW, seeing as everything that's kind of going on with them right now with the crowdfunding deal, and so we kind of went delved into their, a little bit of their history, and we bounced around a little bit too, but we mostly focused on BJW and that, whether it was Kentaro Kanemura's sexual harassment incident, or Yoshihiro Sasaki and Shadow WX's release. Shadow WX setting himself on fire in Kurikin and getting fire banned from Kurikin and as a result.
Oh, so he's a reason why Hechicero could never do his fire trick during Fantastica Mania.
Correct.
Motherfucker.
You are correct, Jeff. And and so we talked a lot about all that stuff, and also the real reason why Yoshihiro Sasaki had to leave 0-1 for BJW. Gotta
Well,
definitely check this out. It's a very.
I've only listened to like one third of it, and I think I think I've learned more about Big Japan than I think I maybe ever wanted to know about it. I do dispute the assertion that what's the guy's the owner's name?
Osaka.
Yeah, I think I take issue with saying that Shoichiro Arai was worse. I think I might take a little issue with that, but anyway, yeah, definitely do listen to that. I look forward to listening to the rest of that. Hopefully tomorrow. In the meantime, you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. My personal Twitter is at GD Wessel, 2 S's 1 L. I'm plugging a podcast I cameoed on. It was the Indie Corner, SoundCloud.com/TheIndieCorner, INDY, which is something that infuriates me, when people use that for independent, because the INDY, of course, is Indianapolis, where I live for 28 years, but it should be INDIE. But anyway, that being said, they did a podcast about who the Mount Rushmore of New Japan Pro Wrestling is, and I did contribute a little bit of that, even though my bit got cut for time, and it was kind of rambly because I kind of said
Oh.
I kind of bristled at the idea of a Mount Rushmore, because of course Mount Rushmore is nothing more than a monument to white supremacy in the middle of native country. So, but I understand it's all good. And the guy told me he was going to do it too. So I was like, yeah, it's fine. I knew that there was a chance it was going to get cut, but I could say it here on my show. So there, haha. Anyway, but I'm joined by some other luminaries, including PCO. Gave his
Oh.
top four for New Japan. So I won't say who that is here. Go ahead and listen to it. SoundCloud.com/TheIndie, INDY corner. And of course, listen to all the other fine shows here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. So I guess we'll be back for episode 32 next week. So Lawrence, any final words?
I got nothing else, man. I got nothing else.
All right. Hopefully we'll do another Strong Style History this weekend. I think that'd be cool. I like to do
Yeah,
that.
I would like to do that too,
Well, let's
so.
do that. Maybe we can try to. Maybe you can watch those other matches too. We could do two episodes, and that way we have one in the can too. So we'll see.
You're ambitious, Jeff.
I am nothing but, if not ambitious. So,
Yeah.
all right, we'll see you next week.